You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. The local, the state, the national man, we cover down on all of the issues. Moving into hour number three, unbelievably. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm doing this whole segment now. We just did the last 20-30 minutes on it. They want our kids. They when I say they, the extreme left wants our kids. Why? Well, a variety of reasons, not the least of which is they want to justify their own behaviors as adults. Therefore, they need our kids so our kids will grow up to be more accepting of their behaviors. And that's not on my watch. Well, somebody else who is very active in terms of conservative policy, who I know has an opinion on this, not only is my friend Stephanie Smith someone who's been around politics for quite a while, been an advocate for conservative policy, having worked in and around state and federal politics and in corporate America. She's also the head of the Thatcher Coalition, which you can find online at thatchercoalition.com. But Stephanie is also the mom of seven great kids. So my friend Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I got it right. Seven, right?
Seven. And actually, our youngest is seven today. So we call them the seven arrows, and the seventh arrow is seven today.
Oh, that is awesome. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
I hope
y'all going to have some big doings around the house, some cake and ice cream at some point.
We have a lot of family traditions, as you might imagine, and doing anything seven or nine, including us, times per year creates, you know, some pretty consistent traditions. So we're headed to our neighborhood Mexican spot where we have had now, I think, 126 birthdays. Literally.
I hope y'all have your own booth in the corner, you know.
We have a special round table, and we're friends with the owners, and they're good friends of ours, and they expect us for every single birthday. So we will be there tonight.
They probably have to stock up on extra chips and salsa when they see y'all coming.
They love to see us.
Well, hey, you know, I just have two, which two felt like a lot sometimes, but now I have beautiful grandbabies. And I'm telling you, this whole segment, I told my audience earlier, and we try to cover all kinds of issues, you know, fiscal policy, conservative policy, defense policy, constitutional liberties, you know, state government, federal government, all of it on this show. But the thing that I think that I am most passionate about, if I had to pick one, is the idea of the left coming after our kids.
As you would imagine, it's one of those things that's ever present on my mind as a conservative, and especially as a mother of seven. It's one of those things to me that, you know, it's almost like in your personal life, if you've got somebody you come across who kind of doesn't like you, and you think, oh, that person just, maybe they're just in a bad mood or whatever. And then it's just consistently and consistently and consistently. And then at some point you're like, okay, this is intentional. This behavior is intentional.
Yeah.
That's where I think a lot of parents are right now, which is the American way is to be accepting. We're the melting pot. We, you know, accept all kinds, accept all religions, you know, all of that. But there's been a shift. There's been in my opinion, a shift in the last, an acceleration and a shift in the last several years to where, okay, now this feels intentional, where you really cannot sit idly by and say, well, it'll be fine because, you know, we're an accepting society. This feels intentional. It's getting younger and younger and going after our kids with books, with movies, with media, and now even in their own classrooms, and a lot of schools, just feels like this is not an accident. This is not something that it's grown adults participating in that kids will just have to learn about when they're older. This is intentionally being put as young, you know, as preschool and kindergarten age, and that makes no sense to over-sexualize kids who don't understand what sex is.
Well, and, you know, when you look at things like you hear about drag queen story hour, oh, that's just that one-off thing that happened at that public library where the liberal runs the front desk. No, drag queen story hour is actually an organization that is in almost every state in the nation and in multiple countries with the intent of normalizing this behavior. Literally, that's their stated intent, and to provide what they call queer role models. Like, why do we want that in school?
Right, and it's one of those things, too, you know, overly surprising to us when federal funding or state funding is being used for this, when it's a public library or, you know, even a military base that's happened on, things like that. That is a step past, but also just kind of the common acceptance of sexualized dancing in front of kids, this whole family-friendly drag show thing. Okay, do we have family-friendly strip shows? Do we have family-friendly keg parties? I mean, where are the lines on this as far as what we're going to allow to normalize for young children? I think the argument becomes a little bit different when kids get to adolescence or even older, that they need to understand that there are different types of people in the world. But that's not even what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is an intentional mechanism to normalize certain behaviors so that it is not only accepted in our society, but affirmed. That acceptance is no longer the goal. Affirmation demanded is the goal. Oh. And if you don't affirm, then you're a bigot.
That's exactly right. It's one thing to say, I don't condemn. It's another thing to be forced to condone. And you know, we can go down the road of, you know, I don't like that behavior, but I don't have to go to the after hours strip club to see the drag queen do his thing. But when you bring it to my kid's library or my kid's school, then we got a whole different fight. But then the other part of this too, you mentioned we're talking about normalizing it. And the other thing I think that really bugs me is the attempts to monetize it. And what we're seeing right now with clinics and hospitals that are looking at this as a profit-making venture to transition kids well before puberty with what they say will be, it'll be reversible. I just read out, I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier, but I just read out the number of different federal-funded studies, by the way, that are researching the fact that it's not reversible and there are great concerns about the health effects of all this quote-unquote gender-affirming treatment.
Oh, absolutely. And it's with the gender transition surgeries and puberty blockers and things like that, the really frustrating thing to me to see is two things. One is that everyone is now treating puberty or unhappiness as a disease. Find me one human in your life who has been happy their whole life and enjoyed every moment of adolescence. That doesn't exist. And so, but now the answer to unhappiness or not feeling like you fit in or not feeling like you're comfortable in your body is that you're automatically transgender. And that's a falsehood. And we need to call it a falsehood because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Secondarily, we have these doctor's offices and now abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood, that have now had the rug pulled out from under them with the Dobbs decision, that are literally just changing their clinics over to gender transition clinics because that's the next frontier. And the problem with this is, A, they're targeting children. B, we don't really even know what these puberty blockers are doing for the long term to kids. We do know what the surgeries are doing to kids, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of these folks that have gone through these surgeries or using the puberty blockers have to be on medications and have medical intervention for the rest of their lives. So we have children making decisions that they can't drive a car, can't vote, can't have a beer, making lifelong decisions that are irreversible. And it's really frightening, to be honest.
It is really frightening. It's like end times crap. It's just, I look at it, and I said to a caller earlier, Sparky called in, and I said, you know, I see in scripture when it talks about, you know, the worship of Baal and sacrificing their children. I think, how does a society become that depraved? And then I'm looking at what I'm seeing now. And I think, well, here we are.
Well, and it does come back to the spiritual, and a lot of people don't want to talk about that, but it right. comes back to the spiritual because we as a society are trying to upend the natural order, and we're also trying to change what our God-given traits are and deny what our God-given traits are. The whole chest feeder thing and, you know, birthing people and all of that nonsense, changing, you know, what are basically biblical definitions that have been around through the beginning of time, all of a sudden aren't good enough. And we have to use these new terms that are, you know, agreed to by the secular progressives, and if we don't, then we're the bad guys.
Yeah.
If we don't change, if we don't agree, if we don't think that, you know, giving a 10-year-old puberty blockers is the right thing to do, then not only are we the bad guys, but as parents in some states are now being targeted as abusers for not affirming their children's gender transphoria.
Which is just unbelievable to me that we're literally at a point where the parent is the criminal for not, you know, joining in with what the child wanted to do. Well, I got news. The reason why they put, you know, the sweet cereal on the bottom shelf is so the kids can grab it, the parents still have to say no sometimes, you know? And
that's right.
So here we are.
My own kids would eat brownies and M&Ms for every single meal if I didn't make the broccoli and the grilled chicken, you know? So,
absolutely.
You know, and there's an understanding that children make childish decisions, which is why we have restrictions on what children can decide. And so I don't know why that would be any different for sexual issues. In my view, it should be even more stringent for sexual type issues, because those are some of the last things to develop
in
people.
Absolutely. Well, I knew you'd have a way of putting it to words, and I appreciate your time today. And y'all have an amazing birthday party tonight. Oh, well, absolutely.
Well, you can check my Facebook page for the sombrero picture. It always makes me.
All right. Well, happy birthday to Arrow number 7.
Stephanie
Smith, thanks for all you do. Folks, you can find her at ThatcherCoalition.com. And she's also on social media. And anyway, we appreciate you.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. See you. All right. Good timing, Boomer. Let's go ahead and move that to a break right now. We'll come right back. This topic's not over. I ain't done. Why? Because it's about our kids. And they want our kids. I'm just saying. Not on my freaking watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.